Okay, now we're heading down to very close to the U.S. border, but staying in Canada. We're going to Windsor to speak with Dave Cormier. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Terry. What's going on, man?
I am talking to you right now. What's going on with you?
I've been locked in my house for 6 weeks, mm-hmm. and I've been doing a lot of talking on the internet.
Me too. I've seen some of yours. You are prolific in this time, I believe.
I can only think when I'm talking out loud. So it means that when other people, you know, do normal things like think inside their brain, I have to write it down or record it. And so it's just my way of processing things. And so, yeah, there's been a lot of production here the last 4 or 5 weeks.
That's great. For those who don't know Dave Cormier, who's Dave Cormier?
I work at the University of Windsor. I am responsible for digital learning strategy, a role that seemed less relevant 2 months ago than it does now. And I've been playing in and around the internet and in open community spaces since I started EdTech Talk with my good buddy, Jeff Lebo, in 2005. So I've been poking around this for a while.
Very cool. And you can say in the time you have been the leading digital learning strategies at Windsor, 100% of courses have gone online. That's a pretty good stat.
Yeah, you know what? I clearly am doing my job.
Okay, so the question of the day for this space is, what's your favorite way to leave space for online learners to do something rather than just have stuff to ingest? What's your take on that?
I think that the biggest mistake that I so often make as an educator is I limit the students by the horizon of my own understanding. So I think of myself as the person in control of all the content they get, the decider who decides what they're going to read, the decider who decides what they're going to do. Anytime I can create space or environments where my students are presenting new work to each other and learning from each other, I'm thinking I'm winning.
Yeah.
So in my fully online classes, that's almost a little bit harder. It's easy to do face-to-face because you can sit behind people and encourage them and sort of give them that smile and that little prod and create that kind of sort of social scaffolding that allows them the courage to be able to produce. So I think online, what I end up trying to do is create those environments where people are speaking directly from their own zone of expertise. Mm-hmm. And the way that gets crafted is that I have a standing rule that I never ask anybody a question to which they don't already have some tools with which to give an answer. If you ask somebody how to teach an online course, how they want to teach an online course, if they've never taught one before, you've probably made a mistake.
Yeah.
You've put them in an impossible position. Whereas if you change that question and say, can you tell me about how your expertise confronts this particular issue? So let's say, how do you deal with students who lack confidence in your class, in your field, or how would you deal with a colleague who lacks confidence to do a certain approach or literacy inside your field? Let's say you're in writing and somebody who has got a writing block. Those kinds of sort of challenge statements are the ways that I like to do it. So in MOOCs, I say, cheating is learning, debate. In a structured classroom, I might say, talk to me about how you would help one of your colleagues who feels like they're confronted with something that they're not able to overcome. And so I leave those as sort of open tasks that people can choose to pick up as part of their grade. They don't need to do it, but they're there as sort of standing challenges that people can take. And I find that challenge approach can be a really nice piece that allows people, whenever they have the time, whenever they have the brain space, whenever they find a challenge that particularly suits them, and whenever that challenge matches up with something they feel that they can talk about, it allows them to speak from a place of confidence, from a place of expertise, which online is also always, it can be a challenge for people to have that whenever you've got really structured assignments. So I find creating a challenge, making it optional, giving them the choice of when they're going to do it, and allowing it to be an optional activity for which they can use as a grade that could replace something they don't want to do.
Well, that sounds pretty good. How many challenges, like if I am a learner in your course, and how many challenges do you list and how many would I have to do? Just a ballpark kind of idea.
What I might do, and I do it differently depending on how the course is structured. Mm-hmm. But I would have three or four examples, and then I would have the thing that nobody has ever done, which is make up your own. I have never had anybody take up the make up your own one, which is kind of discouraging. I was really excited the first time I put it in my syllabus. So I try to put in as many as I can so that people will choose between them, because they never seem to be entirely willing to take up their own. And maybe that's because I haven't made enough space inside the course. But yeah, so three or four, but they'd be pretty broad challenges. So as an educator teaching educators, saying cheating is learning, discuss, is a pretty broad piece of commentary that allows a fair amount of interpretation, because there's no right answer. It's just a provocation.
You know what? If I saw on a syllabus, make up your own, I probably wouldn't do it, but I'd also be like props to the teacher for respecting me enough to have that option. That's cool, even if I don't take it up. So it's cool to have it there anyway, I think.
Well, I think you're reading through to the hidden curriculum again. So just putting it there still has, because I almost took it out and I was like, you know what? That still makes enough of a statement to everybody about what I'm willing to accept that maybe it'll allow them to make different, like more like braver choices whenever they do go to respond. Cause they're like, well, if he's willing to let me do that, then maybe he'll allow me to push a little bit further on this piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's part of the hidden curriculum there. Shh, don't tell anybody.
Okay. I won't. So we better stop this recording then. Well, thank you so much for your thought. That is a great little addition. Thank you. Have a great rest of your day.
Yeah. You too, buddy.
Thanks.